And that's what I hope for today, that some may discover some things that were there all along, but you didn't really realize it until right now, and you were able to put your arms around it and embrace it. For some, it sounds like incredible potential and great opportunity, but then if you think about it too much, it could mean change and really stepping in to the unknown. And a lot of people don't like to go where they're not used to. A lot of people are used to staying in their own lane and their own groove. And I get that and I know it. But until you step out and you try something brand new, you'll never understand what God wants to bring you to and what He wants to bring you through. And sometimes we worry about what we don't know, but I can tell you this for sure, that God said in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That when He brings good, when He brings new to your life, it's something beautiful, and you can embrace that. And it might not be easy getting there, but as you work on it, as you really discipline your life, and you see what God can do in a moment with your life, you will be a greater person. You will be the better for it. The people around you, your family, your home, everyone will increase because of your decision to embrace the new that God wants to bring to you. Last week, Aaron used the scripture out of Isaiah 43, not to remember former things, because back then God's speaking to the nation of Israel that they were so hooked on the things that happened to them in the past that they couldn't grab anything new. You can't forget everything that has happened in your life. But one thing you can do is you can release the hold that it has on you in order for you to accept something brand new. And I want to encourage some of you just for a few moments today to come on, cast off those things that are holding you into that same old paradigm of the way you did everything and accept God. Consider stepping just for a moment today in what could be in your life, into your destiny, where He wants to take you, something that's really great. Because if you resist change, you become history and you become outdated. Come on today. But to become relevant with change, you have to learn to cooperate with it. And I know for some, that's tough. You're not going to cooperate with anything or anybody. You're going to do it the way you've always done, and that's the right way, and that's where the line ends with you. But I'm going to tell you, young or old, if you live that way, you will miss some of the greatest things that God will ever bring into your life. Some of the greatest moments, some of the greatest experiences were some of the most fearful decisions that I'd ever made in my life. But when I made them, my goodness, did He flood my life with brand new. So what are some of the things that He can do for our lives? Number one, He can restore us. God is a great restorer in our lives. He restores broken and painful and hurt relationships. And I heard the Lord say to me, even today, while we were worshiping today, that there's marriages here. You just need to hit the reset button. You're not going to make everything right. You're not going to change everything that they did. You're not going to get everything just erased that has happened in your life. But sometimes, come on, you need to start brand new. You just need to let God wash it all away. Let Him just tear that page off of your life and give you the clean slate. Okay, we start brand new today. And keep God first in your life and watch where He'll take you. He'll do things in you never thought possible in your life. Come on, I ought to hear somebody say an amen about that. You know, because God, He restores the effects of your past than the sin that has been attached to your life. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 22, God said, I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten and the hopper and the destroyer and the cutter has taken from your life. God is a restorer in our lives. He is incredible of cleaning up and restoring things in our lives. Jesus, the Bible says, He displayed the restoration process. In Mark chapter 8, He brought sight to a blind man. The Bible says that when He led the man outside the village, that He spit in his eye. I think that's just so incredible. In fact, I think about doing that at the end of service today. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. But the Bible said it didn't stop there. That when He asked, He says, how do you see? He said, I see like men, they look like trees walking around. He said, come here, let me touch you again. Some of you need another touch from God in your life today. Some of you, you've just gone to a certain level in your life with him and you just think, well, that must be all there is. And can I tell you something? You will never run out of the wow factor when you serve God with all of your heart and with all your life. He'll continue to amaze you. He'll continue to bring tears to your eyes. He'll continue to take you and do things in you that you never thought possible because God is a restorer. He will do that in your life today. Come on, how many of you need some restoring in your life today? He will do that for you. He'll help you. He'll lift you up. The Bible says that he helped a man that couldn't walk. He touched him. He healed his body. In Matthew chapter 9, he said, what's easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? He said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has come with authority on the earth to forgive sins and to say to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up immediately and he walked. This is what God can do in our lives. He restored a man's ability to hear and to speak. In Mark chapter 7, the Bible says that some people brought to him a man that was deaf and could hardly talk. And he begged Jesus to place his hand on. What did he do? He put his fingers in the man's ears and he spit and he touched the man's tongue. Man, we're hearing Jesus spit in people's eyes and spitting on their tongue. That is a pretty good meeting if you ask me. But why did he do that? Let me just segue just a minute. Do you know the most powerful demonstration of a DNA is not in your blood, but it's in your spittle? I took a DNA. I've taken actually a couple of them. A nutritionist, she takes this sample. I thought she was going to take a blood sample to find out what foods I shouldn't eat and what foods were good for me, what my body needed. And I went there and gave me a little tube and I had to spit in that tube. Have you ever tried spitting in a tube where you had to do it and you had to make up that spittle? And I'm spitting. I'm hoping this test is going to tell me you can eat bacon cheeseburgers, French fries with cheese. But the spittle in that test told me who I was because in it is the DNA that I possess. When Jesus spit in the man's eyes and when he spit in the man's tongue, he wasn't doing anything gross. He was sending some of his DNA into that man's DNA at that moment and bringing life and health and healing to it. And as you hear the gospel, as Brad even said to you today, your DNA is being affected by the word of the living God coming into your ears, hearing it, seeing it with your eyes, and tasting and seeing that the Lord, he is good. And he's going to do something brand new and very powerful in your life today. Come on. He's a restorer in your life today. He'll restore you. Number two, he gives you strength. He gives you courage to embrace the new. Because your old way of doing things does not work anymore. And the truth, for some of you, it never did work. You just were living some kind of an illusion, thinking, well, this is the best way. This is the way I've got to live. And God, He wants you to know that there's something different. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is being created after the likeness of God himself. You got to cast away the old way of doing things because they don't apply to your life anymore. And I was thinking about it this week. I went into Home Depot. I had to buy some light bulbs and I went in there. And I remember a few years ago that when they were doing away with all incandescent light bulbs, they were going to be a thing of the past. And people were grumbling. And I don't like when people are going to tell me, I can't buy that incandescent light bulb. And I'd love to ask for a showing of hands for those of you that said that, just like I did. And I went in there and I'm picking up the LED bulbs and I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about new. And then I went up into my barn and I found my little box of incandescent bulbs that I bought because someday you're not going to be able to get them. And what am I going to do without an incandescent light bulb? And some of you are thinking that same way. I can't move forward. I can't change the way I am. I got to keep with the old light bulb in my life. When God says I got something brand new, it'll take less energy, less power, and it'll make you money over time. Come on, change the way you're doing things. Begin to embrace something bad, brand new, and watch God do a good thing in your life. And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 5. He says, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it over an old one. Why? He says, because he will both tear the new and the piece from the old, and it won't even match. And some of you are trying, you want God to do something good in your life, but He's saying, you got to have a brand new life. I can't just come and patch it up. He goes on to say, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins, and it'll be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in fresh wineskins. Why? Because there's a fermenting. And if you put it in an old wineskin that's already been stretched, it'll just rip and pour out all over in the ground. And God says to you and I today, quit saying, I'll just take a little of you, God, when I need you. Just give me this. I only want this much. He's saying, no, you got to change your paradigm today, and you got to embrace everything that He has for you. He wants to totally transform your life. He wants to change the way you think and change the way your behaviors have always been. And realize that some of the old concepts and behaviors established what in your life really needs to be changed. Come on today, hear this now. Jesus didn't just come to put a little patch on your heart. He came, the Bible says, in Ezekiel chapter 11 and 19, to give you a new heart, give you a brand new life, and to totally transform who you are as a person. And then lastly, the Bible says He resurrects. God makes dead things come alive again. I'm thankful for that. He has the power over death in every sense of the term. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells inside of you. What's He saying here? That the same power that brought a crucified dead Christ back to life out of the grave, the same Spirit that rose Him up from the grave, the Bible says, will live inside of you, that will bring what you think is dead back to life. I'm talking to somebody right now. You may think your marriage is dead. God says if you'll let Him, He'll breathe life into it. He can resurrect things that seem to be dead. I've watched Him do it. Maybe you're here today and your business or your job seems to be dead. Let God in. Let Him breathe on that. Let Him bring life back into that. Maybe it's something to do in your own health and you just have given up. You see, sometimes transition takes time in our lives. And if we don't wait on the transition, we lose sight of what the reality is that God wants to do. And we just slide back into the old and say, oh, what's the use? I'm always going to be that way. But nothing could be further from the truth. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are gone. He says, and behold, I am making all things brand new in your life again. You are different. You are not the same person that you used to be. When you asked Christ to come into your heart, He didn't say, well, maybe if you get this right and you be good. No, He came inside of you while you were dead in your trespasses and your sin, and He began to change you and mold you and make you into something beautiful. You are now the head. You're not the tail. You're above. You're not beneath. You'll be first and not last. God's got a plan for you that if the world knew it, they would stand at a attention and say, look who's coming now. That's who God has made you to be. Come on, do you believe that today with all of your heart? He's got good for you. He's got new for you. Ephesians 6:10 says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles, the darts, the missiles of the enemy. And He's going to throw them at you. You're going to start stepping into new, and the enemy is going to come to you and tell you, who do you think you are? You're just so-and-so. You're just that. You're just Brad Trzezinski. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who He is. I'll tell you who you are. You're a brand new creature in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. He's got a blessing held up for you that if you'll reach out and you'll accept it and you'll touch Him today, He's going to download that into you, and you're going to receive things in your life like you have never thought you could ever have. That's because God loves you that much today. Come on, believe that with me today. Amen. Hey, come on, let's give God a good praise today. Thank you, Lord God. few years ago, another young man came into the church. I remember the day he came in. I looked at the guy and I go, I've seen this weird dude before. His name is Paulie Lemondola. Paulie, come on down here. But this man, God has changed his life and transformed him. And a week from tomorrow, he goes to Argentina for 10 days. He's fully funded. We're not going to take money for him, but we're going to receive this morning an offering for Argentina. We've got a little a five-minute video. I want you to watch it. Go ahead, guys. You got it? Yes?
But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of the Judean Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, at your name. This group of people from different states in the United States and Canada, they have made united from students, doctors, or teachers, preachers, was called by God on a mission to the end of the earth. For some, this was a first mission. For others,
always easy to hear God's voice. We wanted to know how they knew God called them to go.
It's complicated. How in the world do you answer a question like that?
There's a certain way that I know when it's His words, I have a certain feel in my spirit and I know it's Him.
It's something you can just look down through a list of all of the options you have. And I don't know, it just seems like when I come to one that the Lord wants me to go to, He just says, this is the one.
It's something, you just kind of know when you're supposed to do something.
We got a postcard from World Mission Alliance, and it seemed like I was just being drawn to Argentina. And it's something that I've learned through the years that I just can't shake it. It's just something I constantly think about all the time and pray about and plan. And that's how it all started. So glad I'm here.
With Argentina, I felt a peace about going on this trip that never left. And there's other trips that I wanted to go on personally, but the Lord leads sometimes by not giving you that peace that you're not supposed to go.
We wanted to know, how do people in Argentina hear God's voice?
Hi, everyone. My name is Belen Reiki. I'm 27 years old, and I'm from Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, Argentina. First of all, I believe that it gives you a lot of doubts, but then it's going to be on your heart once again.
A missions trip is a date with God. That may sound a little shocking, but it is less about the destination of where you're going or what you think you may have achieved, because only God truly knows the eternal results of anything we do. But it is about developing a complete dependency upon God, developing a complete intimacy with God. It is truly the journey.
There's often a mountain between us and God's perfect will. What obstacles and challenges did they face, and what has helped them overcome?
My greatest obstacle is probably the fact I'm really bad at talking to people. And another is I'm scared of flying.
Prayer was definitely the best thing that I had. I had several people praying for me in that trip, and I had to pray also to be able to get through it.
I think it is the fact that I can't go as fast as the other people on the trip, and I don't like to hold people up, and so it makes me feel like I have a bad self-image. Get with it, Margaret. This is not good.
Something comes up a financial thing, whether it be broken water pipes or from one thing to another.
On this particular trip to Argentina, we had the company that pays me every month for the last 4 years, their check bounces, and we find out on Saturday before we leave the country on Monday.
Right after we ran payroll.
And so we have, and, you know, every problem like that always resolves well. The Lord always takes care of us. We recover all. But there's always an attempt to steal your peace and discourage you. And so we had health flares, financial flares, ridiculous things that are, you're like, how could this even happen?
I think the more you do things like this too, the more you learn to listen to God's voice. And the more you also recognize as these flare-ups as just being irritations to try and discourage and try to make you give up. So we have to press on and run our race that God has for us in our lifetime.
It's hard to imagine that we can be any help to God, the creator of the universe. But when we trust Him and respond to His call, He uses us in the most incredible way.
The thing that I love about this area is that everyone is passionate about everything. The worship is very passionate. The warm reception of us, I'm so surprised that I can just immediately be greeted by a complete stranger, kissed on the cheek, and loved from the get-go. I think it's quite amazing.
And he's building up his church here. His church is strong and getting stronger because God's the strength in this church in Argentina. And so this church is going to be a stronghold. It's going to be a center for what God does in Ushuaia and South America.
God is calling you to this great harvest, but it won't be easy. There may be mountains you have to climb, rivers you have to cross, fires you have to face, obstacles that may try to stand in your way. You may even have to go to the ends of the earth in some of the most dangerous places. But if you can get enough courage, I can promise you the reward is great. You can change eternity one soul at a time. And the only one that can answer this call is you.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. I want you just to sow into that. I want 4 or 5 guys to come down. We're going to pray for Paul this morning. I wanted to do this a week ahead of time, so just to keep you and make you all aware of what's taking place. So, Lord, we believe you for Paul. We pray, Lord, your hand of protection and favor over his life. And God, you said, how can they know unless they hear your word, and how can they go unless they're sent? So, Lord, we stand with our brother today. We send him. We pray that you give him favor and give him the ability to articulate and communicate the saving love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Use him. Be with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, and everybody said a good amen for Paulie Lemondola. Amen. Ushers, come on down. Let's sow something into it today. You can make a check out to the city church. You can use the PushPay app, and just there's a mission slot on there. If we all could participate in this, we could buy a lot of Bibles. We could do a great work together. You can't maybe go with Paulie this next Monday, but you can go with him in this regard. Guys, go ahead. Just give as unto the Lord this morning. Let God use you in that area. I want a couple of the other fellows, the prayer partners, to come down here as we leave this morning. If you have prayer need for anything in your life, I want you to come down. Let these people pray with you. Believe God for something good in your life and watch Him bring it to pass. Father, I thank you for your love today and for the word of the living God. Bless your people in a beautiful and a powerful way, I pray now, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. Go in God's grace today. If you need prayer, come on down.